Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
This is The Woods,
grrr,
the show made by bears for the bear community, their admirers and supporters all around Australia and the world. Brought to you from Melbourne's Joy 94.9 studios. Woof, grrr.
It is Thursday night, it's 9 o'clock, or just after, so therefore it is time for The Woods. This is Big Bang Mark. I'm on air tonight with Dean Becurious.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you going?
It looks a little bit cool this evening, but lots of warm smiles in the room, which is nice.
There are lots of warm smiles in the room.
And you know what else gets me warm? A big bear hug. But management have told us not to touch Robbie, the work experience cup.
I know. It's like they think we're harassing him. I don't understand, especially after last week.
It's well-intentioned.
Yeah, apparently his mum wasn't listening, but he had an awkward conversation on the way home in the car.
Awkward.
Awkward. But I believe his boyfriend did like it. Say hello, Robbie.
Hi, boy. Oh, hello, boys. Thanks for having me again.
It's our pleasure.
And just for HR, we don't have him in that way.
No.
We just have him in... Anyway, I'm going to get in trouble there. also joining us tonight, gentlemen, we've got some very special guests in the studio.
So special.
So special. Been looking forward to this one. We've got this crusty old queen. Salty. A lot of people from Sydney will know Salty. Brutus. Hello,
that's
Salty.
Hello, everyone. That's Salty, of course. Crusty.
Crusty and Salty. Now, basically, there's no real good reason for him to be here, but except for his boyfriend, of course. Stephen and I actually, Salty, I should say, actually know each other and have known each other for many, many years.
Yeah.
And we knew each other in Sydney.
Yeah, late 90s.
Late 90s, yeah, it would have been.
Scary, isn't it?
I know. It's been a while. But your partner, Salty, is sitting in the studio with us, and I'm going to introduce him right now. People might know him by the name of, well, they may know him, they may not, by the name of Adrian Wills, or Ado, is that right?
Ado.
Yeah, sorry, Ado.
My friends and family call me Ado.
Ado. And now, the reason you might not know him, but you know of what Ado does. He directs films and TV. And he's actually in Melbourne right now. He's just wrapped directing a number of episodes of, get this, Wentworth. So, evening.
Hello.
Hi, how are you going? How's the week?
My boyfriend.
Yeah, how's the week been, Ado, and working on Wentworth? It must have been amazing.
It's been an incredible experience. I'm a big fan of the show. And I worked on a show in Sydney called Wonderland.
Yes.
Same producers. And I did that purely because I wanted to work on Wentworth. So I thought, okay, if I go on Wonderland and they like what I do, then it's half a chance or half a foot in the door because it's really hard to get in.
Yeah. Did you pester them saying, I need to do Wentworth, this is what I want to do?
I did. You got to choose your moments right.
Yeah.
You can't stalk.
We should probably let people know what you actually did on Wentworth.
I'm a director, yeah.
So
I directed two episodes, which is one block of the show.
Now it's in the fourth season. Now
season
you directed
four.
It's season three's on telly, but at the moment. But you actually directed two of the episodes in season four.
Yeah, season four. We're in production in season four at the moment. We're halfway through. Season three, I think, has just gone to DVD.
Ah, right.
So you
okay.
Get on DVD, and it's selling around the world like hotcakes, which is really good for everyone working on the show.
Yeah, you were saying it's really big in America and Germany.
Yeah, America's just discovered it, and it was on the Netflix top 10 shows to binge.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is fantastic. And there's a show, obviously, in America called Orange is the New Black.
Yes, big
which
fan.
Which we constantly compared to in Australia. But apparently there's no comparison.
How,
in the States, which is good.
Yeah, I couldn't say how you could compare the two. I mean, I see Orange is the New Black as a comedy.
It's a dramedy. Yeah.
Yeah. And Wentworth is definitely not a comedy.
No. Well, there's some pretty funny things in it. But no, it's not a comedy. It's prison life, you know.
So, Ado, having finished just filming season 4, you must know what happens. So some of our listeners might be interested to ask some questions about what happens. Now, of course, I imagine you can't give too much away, but if they did have a question, they could SMS in on 0427-JOY949 or email us on onair@joy.org.au to ask what happens in Wentworth.
In season 4.
In season 4.
It'll be a very short conversation, unfortunately, because I'm not allowed to say anything.
Contractually, you know.
Contractually, my life wouldn't be worth living if I gave away plot points.
Do you sign a confidentiality agreement when you do this, these things?
Well, I sign a director's agreement. I sign a director's contract, which basically, you know, has all those points involved. And there is, you know, there's stuff on the call sheet every single day. I can't take photos of on set.
Wow. We won't say what you just said. so we probably got lawyers listening to us at the moment going, oh, what's he doing?
No, look, that's like, obviously, there's a huge fan base out there for the show, and the producers are aware of that. And you know, Twitter feeds and all that sort of people want to know what's happening. And I know that some of the directors do take photos on set and sort of put them on Instagram, but it's, you know, it's a track with a camera on it. It's not giving away anything.
Not giving away the plot or anything like that that's coming up.
No.
But of course, Prisoner was so well known and loved, and now with Wentworth, the reboot, it's got a new audience. Mm. Is there a sense of responsibility you have to telling the story in a way which connects with the audience?
Look, I don't think there is. I think the producers of the show reimagined the show, Prisoner, and I think they really reimagined it in the true sense. I think definitely the characters' names are there, and part of their backstories and stuff are similar. But their characters have developed, I think, so much further than they ever got to on Prisoner. I think Prisoner really... And I'm a huge fan of the Prisoner show as well. I'm a huge fan of Australian drama. But I think with Prisoner, it was more a cup of tea drama.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, sit down and have a cup of tea with Lizzie.
Yes.
You know, and
Lizzie, do a bit of ironing. Do a bit of ironing with me. Yes.
Which is funny because every time you have a scene with Celia, often it will be around a cup of tea because she plays Lizzie in Wentworth. But it was very much kind of soap opera.
Yes.
Whereas Wentworth today is
a drama.
Drama.
Yeah. I was just going to say that when I used to watch Prisoner in the Day, that's how old I am. Yes, it was a soap, and you can't call Wentworth a soap. It's a drama.
No,
definitely. And look, we'll be coming back as Dean said. If you want to get any of the goss, we're not
try allowed. Your hardest.
You can try your hardest. We'll ask the question if you want to SMS or email in, or you know, we'll be talking about some other stuff that Ado and we'll talk to Salty as well at some point as well. You're on the Woods on Joy 94.9. Oof.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
To the middle of this tightrope. Hey, this is Matt Albert from San Francisco. Well, then you can find a way to make it out here too. You're listening to The Woods on Joy 94.9. And if I can make it to the
middle of this tightrope. You are on The Woods on Joy 94.9. I'm Bear Curious Dean. I'm here with Big Bear Mark and Robbie, the Work Experience Cub, and we're joined by Salty and Ado, and we're talking Wentworth.
Yes. Well, we were talking Wentworth. I don't want to bog you down because, I mean, you've just done
other things.
Well, I want to get on to other things as well. One of the things we should probably get into a little bit is your Indigenous heritage, if that's okay. So you're born near Singleton, and Dean's going to pronounce this because he was practicing.
Wanarua Nation?
Yeah, very good.
Very good. And
So I was born in Bourke.
Ah, okay.
My people were originally from Wanarua, which was where Tiddalik the Greedy Frog came from, who drank all the water.
Right.
Sorry. Tell me more about that story.
It's the Greedy Frog who drank all the water and left no water for anyone else.
Greedy.
And he was sort of banished into a rock formation, so he's there now.
Ah, okay.
Full of water. Anyway, so we're originally from Wanneroo and Singleton area. But we were moved from there up to Bourke in the mission days. And I think the story goes is that we walked back again, and then we got taken back up there again and stayed there and sort of... So I grew up in Bourke. My family had been there for a while and was born... Not grew up, I was born in Bourke. And then I was adopted out when I was 3 days old and grew up in Sydney. So I've been around.
Yeah. So where did your... obviously, you've been doing film and TV for most of your... Or I assume all of your life. How did you get started?
Oh, look, I've always been... film and television is a language I understand from, I think, as far back as I can remember. I mean, I was even saying to a friend of mine the other day, my mother used to say if all my schooling was in a film or a documentary, I would retain 98% of it, whereas that wasn't the case in normal school. But it's just a language I understand. It's I live in that world mm-hmm. most of the time. I mean, my partner Salty will... I mean, I'm thinking about it all the time. I'm sort of living that world.
Does he?
Well, 24/7. In fact, probably shouldn't say the films that you fall asleep watching, but that does happen.
No, you can do that. That's fine.
No, but those binges. He loves the binge thing. So, the box sets and all that stuff.
I remember doing Oz, when I discovered Oz.
Oh, love Oz.
I was unemployed at the time.
Yeah.
And... I watched the box set and watched DVD after DVD after DVD. I think I watched about 10 hours worth. And then I went and had lunch, and I felt like I was on parole.
Yeah.
It was really weird. It was sort of like throwing myself into it. But, yeah, no, I've always had a love of especially movies, cinema, you know. That sort of was magic as a kid.
Because that's where you started out. You started doing short films. Then, you know, you even did the documentary of the making of Brand New Day as well.
Mm.
And so did you go and study somewhere to...
I did. I started making short films by accident, but there's no accidents in life, I don't think.
No.
And then I applied for AFTERS, the Australian Film and Television Radio School.
Yep.
And I got in. And then halfway through the first year, I was like, the penny dropped. And I sort of went, oh, actually, I can do this as a career. It didn't really hit me as a career until halfway through that first year. In fact, 9/11, the day of 9/11, I remember the penny just dropped, and I just went, oh, fuck, this is all truck.
no, you can say fuck, it's all right. It's after 9 o'clock, you're fine.
This is what I could do this as a career. Like, it actually became a reality, because there were so many people around me that were doing it as a career. And were successful filmmakers, and so it became a possibility, whereas before it was just a complete dream. And I always thought I'd be an actor, and I was woeful as an actor.
See, I studied acting as well, but never ended up continuing that. I mean, because you're poor as well. It's like you try to start out as acting, and I've known a few people that have actually made it, but it's like... You are constantly poor and working in call centres or a waiter or that sort of stuff. So, I mean, and so it was going behind... Did something call you to directing, or was that something...
Yeah, I think once I found myself there and looked back on how I got there, I actually thought there was no other place I'd end up being. Everything that I am as a personality and sort of... did in my life, my interests, my hobbies. I love actors, that was just why I thought I'd always be an actor. But funnily enough, when I'm directing them, is far better than being one.
But is it like herding cats working with actors? I wonder. As a director, do you need is there a role that you play to herd the cats and to get the best out of them into their performances?
It's funny you say that, because in many ways, and especially in an ensemble cast, like, say, for Wentworth, for example, there are some of the most incredible Australian actresses mm-hmm. on that show, and New Zealand actresses, who have their own way of working and their own way of coming at things, and they're fiercely intelligent, and they're fiercely protective of their characters and their storylines. They challenge the directors, they challenge the writers, the producers, every single day. Like, their work ethic is extreme. You know, every single one of them.
Are we talking intelligence, or are we talking divaism?
No, I'm talking intelligence.
Good, good.
People, it's funny, and I might get struck down for saying this. We might think, well, you're an idiot. But most good actors that I come across are extremely intelligent people.
Yeah.
They have an innate sense of a psychology of people and their characters. And with story, it's really hard to stay on top of big detail in story, and you know, especially in long-running series. But they can pinpoint a plot hole a mile away. And we have award-winning writers on that show and producers that have produced so much Australian television. And the women are just really they're sort of very specific and very, and you don't see it until they point out and you go, oh, of course, how obvious that was. But, and, you know, maybe it's because that where they come from, they don't have the everything else that we come to the script with. Mm. You know, they have just their character and their focus, and that's why they can be so perfect. But
yeah, I mean, that's, they live the character almost every, you know, every working day, literally.
Yeah, that's right. And they're doing the lines at night, and they're trying to understand the reasoning behind the words and the sub. You know, you never play the subtext. And.
And, of course, another show that I understand you've worked on is Redfern Now, which has got an incredible cast.
Yeah,
very
yeah.
talented
yeah.
actors. Is there joy and pleasure and pride in working on such high-profile and progressive shows?
Absolutely. I think Redfern Now was an absolute game-changer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we knew it when we were doing it. I wrote in the first series, and I really wanted to direct, but I didn't get to direct on the first series. But the producers said, come back in the second series and we'll see where you're at then. And I got to direct on the second series and write. But I just knew that it would change Australian television.
Yeah.
I think it did.
Yeah.
And there is absolutely a pride because there's so many actors, Aboriginal actors, that have been working hard and honing their crafts. And there's been a lot of writers and directors doing the same thing over here, and the actors are over there. And all of a sudden, we all came together at one point with Aboriginal producers, and we were all ready to do it. And we came together, and what we made, I think, was really special.
Yeah. I'm wondering if the state of the Australian film and TV industry, is there a prejudice against Indigenous actors and workers?
Look, I know a lot of my friends who are actresses really struggle with the idea of being cast just as who they are. I mean, Deb Marmon's a good friend of mine, and she's an incredible actress, and she's one of the lucky ones that, you know, does get cast because she's an incredible actress.
Yeah.
Not so much because she's an Indigenous actress. And I think that's changing. I hope that's changing.
Yeah.
But also I think that, you know, what we should also be doing is casting them because they're Indigenous in roles that are part of our everyday life, because, you know, blackfellas have jobs.
Well, exactly.
They work in hospitals. They, you know, they're police force officers. Yeah. And
it's a bit like, and I can't remember the word they use. It's like where you don't look at the race when you're casting.
Colorblind.
Colorblind. Yeah, it's a colorblind casting. Saying that, I mean, you've got a double whammy because you're Indigenous and you're LGBTI as well.
Mm.
And a bear.
And a bear.
Triple whammy.
And triple whammy on words. In your career, have you come across, maybe advantaged in any way from being any of that, or have you been disadvantaged?
I think it's been an advantage because there's no one else out there like me.
That's true.
I have a little niche. You know, I haven't come across another bear director or an Aboriginal bear director.
Which order does it go in?
Well, you know.
What it's about sort of, Shane Jacobson's brother?
Well, we have an obsession.
Oh, yeah.
My partner has an obsession with Shane Jacobs.
Jacobs. Yeah, he's hot.
I've interviewed Jacobson. Shane before.
Has he been in here?
Yeah, he's been in here before.
In that very seat.
Yes. He's a lover.
Don't tell him that. He'll take the seat. Or leave something on the seat.
He's an absolutely lovely guy, I have to say. Yeah. And very with it in terms of knowing what bears are. Because, I mean, he's a bit of a bear fan. You know,
definitely.
And he knows what a bear is and he loves it. Yeah. He loves the attention. I mean, 100% straight, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And his brother's the director, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. He's just as cute.
Yeah, well. When can I meet them?
You're going to set up an introduction.
He tries to, whenever I get a job, it's like, great, can Chain be on it? It's like, doesn't work like that.
Well, not in Wentworth.
No.
Well, you've got established characters, I suppose. I mean, does the director have a role in the casting?
Yeah, there is a role. Look, in television, it's a role. It's a role of many. You have, you know, often the principal cast are cast by the network and by the producers, and they're already in place. I think a startup director would have a say.
Yeah.
I have an opinion. Yeah, it's a voice, but really it's producers. I don't want to say it's a producer's medium per se, but it is the producer's final say on the cast for guesties and all those roles. But usually you can put a really good case forward for someone, you know, that you really, really want, unless there's a huge diversion to them, then, you know.
So someone could say, oh, no, we're not hiring them again.
And it's like, well, I think it's funny because I never get... I always have someone I really, really like, and no one else likes them. Like no
oh, really?
One else, no one else gets it. They're just like, yeah. So over here we got, you know, it's like I never, very rarely do I get
it's
to.
It's like over here we've got Deb Malman. She's lovely.
But yeah, so I'm a bit of left out of the box a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to have a say tonight, just give us an SMS. 0427 Joy 949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. We'll pose your questions to Ado and Salty. And
if Shane Jackson, if you're listening.
Yeah, if Shane, if you're listening, message us in, eh?
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
In a forest, not too far from here, the tiny woodland creatures awake. They are thirsty. They are in need of the April showers. And only one man can bring it to them.
What's up? This is Big Dipper, and you're listening to The Woods with Big Bear Mark and Luke the Wonder Cub.
Drip, drip, drop, little April showers. Me, the Big Dipper, me now fuck around. Drip, drip, drop goes the baseline. Power club music is a Big Dipper sound. Big Dipper sound.
You're in The Woods on Joy 94.9 with Big Bear Mark. Bear Curious Dean and myself, the work experience cub Robbie. I've stolen the microphone from Mark and he's not getting it back. And we've got our great guests Salty and Ado on today. Thanks for joining us again, guys.
Thanks for having us.
No worries.
All right, I'm stealing the microphone back now.
Well done.
Thank you very much. I did have a question lined up, but I've gone blank. Have you got a question?
We were talking about the Australian film industry.
We were, yeah.
And the state of the Australian film industry and television as well. And interested in your views about, is there a renaissance? I mean, obviously, with Holding the Man, good Australian film, a lot of interest in that cinema. But is there other good Australian cinema?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think Holding the Man, Oddball.
Yes.
And there's and Paper Planes.
Paper Planes was great, yeah.
Which I haven't seen, sorry.
That's really good.
Apparently this year, the box office has been the best year for Australian films in like since Muriel's Wedding and the year of
Priscilla. Is that right? Wow.
It's what people don't understand is that it always looks dire when you look at when reporters and people put out that, you know, we only had this percentage of the box office. But what people need to understand is we punch way above our weight every single year, compared to the budgets for the films, compared for the percentage of the market that we have, in terms of, you know, up against. I mean, we're going up against, you know, big blockbuster films with our, you know, Australian films. We don't have the budgets to make the same sort of films, but it's getting better. There's more co-productions. There's more interest in American companies and studios working with Australian creatives. You've got a lot of successful directors overseas that are making their films that are Australian, that are making Australian films back here with bigger budget backing.
Yeah, because that's something I was going to say, because there was, I suppose it was around the time that, you know, the Matrix films were filmed here, and there was a lot of filming coming in, especially when our dollar was lower, and I suppose our dollar is starting to go down now. Do you see a resurgence of a...
Yeah, I need to know on the news. Julie Bishop announced that Thor and the new Prometheus will be shot in Sydney. Shot in New South Wales, and the lure of the American market's back on to come down and make those films. And, I mean, we have crews that, you know, even American crews say are better than... standard, you know, harder, better standard than even what they have around the world.
I mean, I know crews. The Mission Impossible film, when it came down to be shot here, the production team raved about the Australian crew. Mm. And it was like, we've got some real professionals down in Australia. Mm. And we take our film and TV very seriously.
Just don't bring your dog with you. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Johnny.
That's true. Yeah. So true. Yeah. Yeah. That didn't get mentioned in the press conference, funnily enough.
Funnily enough.
Why was the comment about the fat, sweaty man that Johnny Depp made considered...
In Cairns, yeah.
Why was that considered negative? That's what I'm trying to work out.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if you want to insult Barnaby Joyce, go for it. I mean, no, we love our agriculture minister. But
how about for the television production? So, you know, our Orange is the New Black. We've got an Australian actress appearing in Orange is the New Black. Are we seeing...
Two.
Oh, is it two?
Yeah. You know the that character who is from the Bronx, is she or she...
The
with the lipstick and the Mexican
yes, of course.
She's Australian.
Yes, and she's married the boy that was in Secret Life of Us. Anyway, I don't know who you mean.
Yeah, is it Rosie?
I can't remember. I'm sure someone out there will know, and they can SMS us.
She's
or
one of the principal cast, and she's Australian.
Yeah,
yeah, and we have an Australian actress in Nashville, the songwriter girl. She's Australian from Byron Bay.
I mean, and there are I know that a lot of people go to LA for casting season and get out there there's all these Australians out there that don't know you probably don't know that they're Australian. I can't remember. I think it was it Kirk Douglas who was having a moan about all the Australian and British actors and actresses that were coming into America and taking their jobs. Because, well, you know, and the thing is, if you are good at what you do, it doesn't matter where you come from.
That's right.
Would you see it at any time when we'd have an American actress, perhaps in Wentworth or in Redfern now? Or...
We just have Clever Man. So Clever Man is a new drama series being made by the ABC. It's an Indigenous series. It's like an Aboriginal True Blood.
Oh, okay.
Fantastic. Yeah.
So
sort of mystical...
Dreamtime characters in a
nudity?
Like a District 9 world.
A nudity?
In the future.
Is there nudity?
Someone wants nudity.
For the gay community.
Yes, probably, yes. There's, they're about the hairy men. And
Salty's happy. Okay.
So, yeah, hairy men are living amongst us now, like vampires.
All right. Yeah.
And they're cordoned off into certain areas.
So is this in production now?
This is finished production.
Finished production.
It's just been sold at Sundance TV.
Wow.
And it's Weta Workshop is the co-producer
from New Zealand. Yeah.
From New Zealand, who did Lord of the Rings. So it's the most money that
no, go for it.
It's the most money that they've put into an Australian drama in a very long time. And it's tipped to sell over... Well, it's already sold in America and probably going to do gangbusters in the States. So, again, we're punching well above our weight. And, you know, rightly so, same producers as Sapphires are producing Clever Man.
Because, there are other shows like Please Like Me who punch well above their weight in the States. I mean, Pivot, one of the cable channels over there, it's their main show.
Yeah.
And they promote it all across the US. So, I mean, we do, as a smaller... And we are a smaller country, really.
Yeah.
We do a lot of good stuff.
How about I pitch an idea about a group of bears that are, you know... have a sitcom maybe in their own radio show.
Well, I mean, that's not such a strange idea because, you know, when you've got people like Presto and Netflix and Stan and all that sort of, they're going to be looking for Australian content.
Right, okay.
Well, they are. I know that they are. So shows. I know there's a lot of producers that are putting shows up for, you know, consideration. So
now's the time to get your scripts out. And
Nothing's off limits. Like, I don't think anyone should consider it like it's a world that you can't access, because a good story is a good story, no matter who you are.
John Richards, if you're listening, get Space Night Terrace out there to the producers now. And you might have a chance of getting it made for TV instead of just on podcast. What did John call it? Audio production.
Oh.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Isn't it interesting, though, with the changes in how we distribute media, and you say the Netflix and Stans and et cetera, Prestos, it almost allows a greater diversity of images and people and personalities and communities to be shown on the screen, which must have a positive impact to the Australian community generally.
Oh, it has to. I mean, you look at shows like Transamerica. Transparent.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic!
It's amazing show. Yeah.
It's an incredible show, and like, you know, 5 years ago you wouldn't have been able to make that show. Mm. And Australians wanted that before they could even get access to it. They wanted to see it. So it's not that Australian audiences don't want to see good drama. I think their taste in drama are actually really good and really experienced. I mean, they're watching Danish television, they're watching, you know, German television, binging on that sort of stuff. So it's like, why don't we give them our own stories here as well?
I just watched a French series called The Returned.
Mm.
Have you seen it? You know it? Yeah.
That's what Glitch was based on.
Oh, yeah, well, very similar. I watched Glitch as well.
Yeah.
And amazing storylines and, you know, that's the type of stuff I really love to watch. Thank you, SBS. sorry. I was going to ask you, obviously directing is a very... how many directors are there out there? There's a lot. So how does one... obviously, you got recognised with your work from Redfern Now, and you came up through the Australian Film and Television School.
Yeah.
So how do you go on to get your next job? Do you have to call people? Do you have to
sleep his way?
Sleep your way to the top? What is it about?
It's very grueling.
Snoring with a sleep machine. No.
It's a CPAP thing, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, approach people? Do people approach you?
It's an incredibly hard job to have.
Yeah.
Especially as a young director. But, I mean, even experienced television directors in this country now will tell you that they might work on two shows a year. So if you work on two shows a year and you're doing maybe two blocks on that show, you're working 3 months. So you're working 6 months of the year. The other 6 months, you're not working.
Yeah.
So what you make in that 6 months, you have to make stretch for 12 months.
Yeah.
It's really effing hard. And it's demoralising as well. It's hard to keep your chin up above, you know, above water at times. It's financially, it can get really hard. And soul-destroying, but for some reason, the passion that we have for doing what we do, and when you're doing it, there's no other job that's better, maintains for those darker times.
Do you get out there and do your own projects?
I do. I've got some stuff in development at the moment. I think that's what keeps me sane and keeps me going, is that I've got a few projects I'm developing as well. And there's, you know, I'm writing two feature films at the moment. I've just optioned another play that I want to turn into a feature film. I've got two shows that I'm involved in development.
Wow. You are keeping yourself busy.
Yeah, well, but you have to, because, like, if you have five projects on the run, one of them might get up.
And this is the process you were talking about, but with going and pitching it to the networks. And so what happens when you go into that sort of pitch meeting?
Well, look, you don't just rock up and say, hey, I've got an idea.
Yeah, exactly.
You do have to have, I mean, because it's such an expensive medium, you have to have experience. You have to have runs on the board.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you have to have someone really experienced backing you. So a broadcaster won't just take anyone. And I'm fortunate enough now that I could probably walk into any situation or any broadcast and have the runs on the board to go, okay, to be taken seriously and say, I've got an idea for a show, these are my producers, here's the pitch, and people will take the meeting. But it's taken, you know, close to 18 years to get into that position.
Yeah.
You've got to have your name in IMDb. I found that out.
Oh, really?
I bet your name's in it.
I don't know. I haven't. I was an extra in The Sum of Us.
You got it. Then you're in IMDb.
I was there. I'll have to look myself up. I don't think I am, actually. I've done a few short films, and I did do a... I actually had a... And, you know, it is about getting your projects up and doing it yourself. because I had, did have a theatre company at one point, a small one in Sydney, and it was all about getting, you know, we were the one who went and hired the theatre space and put the show on, and, you know, you have to do it yourself. Yeah. It's the only way to do it.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Catch up or relive all the Woods has to offer. Listen to the Woods podcast online at joy.org.au or on iTunes or Stitcher. Joy 94.9.
It's a thing.
I know.
It's a thing now. One thing I did forget to mention before, we played a Beyonce song in the last break, and it was for you.
It was for me, Anna.
And what significance does Pretty Hurt have for you?
I just relate to how much it hurts being pretty.
Oh, is that it? Is that it?
No. I really love the song. I think it's a beautiful song. I think... when you listen to the lyrics, you know, it's a song about women living beyond expectation and what's, you know, I just think it's a empowering song.
And I believe you listened to it on your way to work.
No, on my way, but also on my way to pick up the husband from the Laird.
When he rolls out the Laird at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, okay.
No, I have to say this, it's the Laird and then is it Circuit?
Yes.
And then apparently the pill.
That's your last.
But I don't have much memory of that last one.
Okay, we won't talk about that.
Because you're actually down from Sydney for the moment, aren't you?
Yes.
So you're exploring Melbourne.
Yeah. He's a bright new shiny toy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, God, I haven't felt that for decades.
No, exactly. I was like, that's not how I see him. God, shiny, new.
Speaking of how difficult it is to be pretty, the upkeep, I guess, for the husband of an Australian director must take a lot of effort.
It's very exhausting. Yes. It is. But I've done my fair share. I've been an extra. I've tried to pay my way. Except I didn't know if being a lesbian... whatever inmate I was going to work this time for me.
So you could have been an officer. A prison officer or something like that.
I thought no, they're this is the big time. Charge. I didn't want to really stuff it up.
So what were you in an extra in?
I was in the Gods of Wheat Street.
Yeah.
I was a prisoner there. I didn't have to speak, so it worked.
Yeah.
It was so funny because they spent hours painting tattoos on people, and as soon as they saw Stephen, they're like, can we cast him? I'm like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, they didn't have to do any artwork on you. You've got your own artwork.
They all know you're the director's wife, so you get treated really lovely.
Oh, nice.
Is it like a catering buffet that you...
They adore him.
And then the stars sit next to him. Who do we love? What's his name? The main star gods?
Kelton.
He was lovely.
Yeah. I know when I was doing The Summer for some... We're talking a long time ago now.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie. And
so you and Jack Thompson and Rusty just came back?
Well, no, Jack Thompson and I... Well, we did have a really nice conversation and we did have lunch together on the catering truck thing. Rusty, on the other hand, didn't talk to the extras.
No eye contact?
No. Well, it was like, no. And even to the point where, he'd send his... body double in to do all the rehearsing and everything, but that's telling stories, I suppose.
It's like the show Extras. It seems it's sometimes like that where they're treated quite appallingly.
But can I say though, like it is, I make him travel with me when I go on jobs because it's fucking hard pressure. It's a really high pressure job.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on you. There's a lot of hours. You work insanely.
Well, tell us the hours that you were working on Wentworth, because it was crazy, wasn't it?
It was 12-hour days, at 100% for 12 hours at least, and then you get home and I watch rushes, and then I do my script up for the next day. And if I didn't have him to go home to, I would feel like I was away from home.
Yeah.
So, I barely dress myself for the morning because I'm so tired, and so it's, you know, and a lot of other directors say the same thing. We don't even do our laundry when we're shooting because it's that
intense
and consuming. So I couldn't do what I do without you know, being
support,
with
yeah.
the support of my partner.
Oh, you're a good wife.
Yeah. Very good wife.
So do you stand there with the martini waiting for him to come through the door?
Oh, yeah, you always have to keep yourself pretty.
Yeah.
You know? Except noise. And they love him. I've had a couple of actresses I went with trawl through my Facebook, and they come to me and say, your husband is adorable.
Oh.
He's gorgeous.
That's
love him.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Very good.
Still get me Shane, all right? I'm still waiting for Shane.
Oh, okay. We'll see what we can do. I'll give him a call. Now, here's a big question. What's next?
Feature films.
Feature films.
Yeah. As much as I love television, as I said, it's not paying the bills as much as I want it to. And I'm turning 40 this year, and I promised myself I'd make my first feature film and then reassess what I'm going to do. If it doesn't do anything, it doesn't change the game for me, I might look to do something else with my life, because you just can't financially, I can't justify it. I want to have I want to have money when I get old and, and have something to support myself or ourselves when we get old. So I want to do a feature film and see if that changes the game for me. It's probably likely that it might. Which means might move overseas to America.
I was just going to ask you that. How important is it to break into an overseas market in your game?
It's vital. I can't make a living as an Australian director doing TV in Australia.
Now, that's a shame.
Yeah.
That is a real shame.
There's a lot of directors overseas that are doing... Australian directors are directing Doctor Who.
Yeah.
They're directing every American television show from Nashville to... the one with Tia Leone at the moment. I've got a few friends that direct
on
that.
Secretary. Yeah.
Yeah, Grey's Anatomy. I mean, there's all these Australian directors over there because they can't make livings here.
Does anyone make a living here on that sort of stuff?
Producers? Might. There might be production companies, certain production companies that make money out of the sales and out of the back end of projects and shows, but it's not viable. So I'm going to put my energy towards my feature films and see if that... And I know I've a few directors that have gone overseas now, and that gives me enthusiasm to sort of say, okay, if they can do it, I can get on to Wentworth, I can get on to Nashville or American Horror Story or,
I suppose that's where you're going. I mean, you've got Rush and you've got Wentworth and all that behind you now.
Wentworth will really help. It'll change the game for me overseas.
Go and visit Rosie O'Donnell and see if she can get you some work.
Why's that?
Because she's a big fan of the show.
Is she really?
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean having Wentworth on the show reel will get me a meeting in LA with an agent. I've had a friend who directed Wentworth who's now off on... doing Nashville and the new Tia Leone show.
Wow.
She can't work in Australia. She's like, no one else will hire me.
You could always chase Bollywood. There's the millions in Bollywood.
Well, there are millions in Bollywood. You say that almost jokingly, but there are. But
the cricketer, what's his name?
Oh, yes, Brett I know
Lee.
Who you mean.
Yeah.
Brett Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's laughing because they're throwing money at him.
I have a friend who's a sound recorder, so he's in part Indians, but all Indian, who has like three houses in India based on his sound recording work.
There you go. You're on the Woods. We'll be back in just a minute to say goodbye.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You are on the Woods on Joy 94.9. This is Big Bear Mark. We've got Bear Curious Dean, Robbie the Work Experience Cub. We've got Salty and we've got... I'm going to have to get used to that because I keep going to say Adu.
That's like much ado.
Adu.
Much ado about.
Nothing. Much ado. Adu.
Adu.
Look, we've come to the end of the show, unfortunately. We could have talked to you guys for hours, but... if you had to say one thing about the Australian film and TV industry, what would it be? What's the point that you want people to take away from tonight?
I think it's important. I've always believed it. I live by it. I think it's important that we tell our stories now for generations to come and leave our stories behind, because in hundreds of years to come, people will look at our films and our stories and see how we perceived the world and our life. And I think that's... it's really important, especially as an Aboriginal man, to document history and my perception on the world.
Thank you very much, Adu. and Salty.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure having you in the woods tonight. Dean, what's coming up on Cheap Seats tonight?
Next up on the Cheap Seats, we're doing slam poetry.
Oh, okay.
Different change of pace.
Bit of a difference.
Bit of slam poetry. In the United States for some slam poetry.
Yes, and of course, Monday at 6:30 a.m. Join myself and Luke for Brekkie Bears. We'll be back next week for all things hirsute and woodland creature-esque. Thank you very much, Robbie.
Thank you. I'll bring the shoe polish next week. I keep my promise.
What was that, the shoe polish?
For work experience.
For work experience. Oh, yeah. Polish. Is the car shining?
Yes, beautiful. Beautiful.
Good, just as well. yeah. Coming up right now, you got the cheap seats. You're on The Woods, Joy 94.9.
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
Woof-ger.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.